Welcome back to Believers Academy. My name is Randa Lee, and we are on our second lesson in the series, Speak God's Word, Get His Results. Today, Kenneth Copeland and Bill Winston are teaching us how to speak God's Word and create your best life. Does it sometimes seem like a struggle to have your needs met? In this lesson, you will learn that God provides for you not because you have needs, but because He loves you. And you'll learn how to tap into that love and have access to all the fullness of God. We hope the study tools located under this video will be helpful to you as you study this lesson. And don't forget, you can take the quick review to test yourself on what you've learned. Remember, this lesson is for you, so you can go at your own pace. At any time during the presentation, feel free to pause and look up scripture, write notes, and even go back so that you can catch every point. We are so happy that you're joining us in this study. Are you ready to get started? Let's join our teachers.
Hello, everybody. I'm Kenneth Copeland. Bill Winston's here with us again today. Whoa, we're going to have some, we got some stuff today. Praise God. Father, thank you for opening our eyes and blessing our eyes and ears. And we just give you praise and thanksgiving for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Bill, let's go over here to the book of Genesis. Now, we're going to introduce this, and then yesterday's broadcast, when we closed, remember now, we're talking about laws of the Spirit supersede, they don't do away with, they supersede the laws of the natural realm, the laws of physics. Mm-hmm. Now, spiritual laws created all matter. And when we learn to function in the word realm,
we're in that spirit
realm. We're in that realm where matter was created. And we bring materiality into things. Now, we need to get rid of the need concept.
Yeah, okay. Let's talk about that.
God does not provide things to meet our needs. The scripture said He gives us all things richly to enjoy. He does it because He loves you. That's the only reason He heals you. That's the only reason He saves you. Grace is God's overwhelming desire to treat people like sin never happened. And to get us back there on an equal basis with Him in command and control of all the creation. Because we already in heaven, Bill.
That's exactly right. We're seated there, brother.
Yes, sir. We've been lifted up. The scripture said our citizenship is there. And as far as the world is concerned, we've already died.
Goodness. So we've done all the dying we're going to do.
We've done all the dying we're ever going to do. You'll never know it when you die. Jesus tasted death for every man. You can't taste it when you die. You can't feel it when you die. You can't hear it. You'll never know it. You just look, hey, that's my body laying out. Look at that thing. Boy, I feel better. Whoa. And to be absent from the body, be present with the Lord. And you get there, you're going to feel right at home. Because actually, your spirit has been residing in that realm. One with God, where as He is, so are we in this world. We are deployed by heaven and earth. Now, we need to get rid of this need concept, because if you struggle after getting needs met. That's where the toil comes in. Let's go back, and we've been redeemed from that curse. So, let's go back over here, Bill, to Genesis 3. And once we see this, we can see then from the scripture and understand how David defeated Goliath.
Okay. All right.
Now, Genesis 3, verse 7, the eyes of them both were open, and they knew that they were naked. Now, they'd never seen their physical bodies because they were clothed in the glory. Like God. When the prophet saw God, He was a fire from the loins up and from the loins down. And lightning-like shafts of splendor came out of His hands, and therein was the hiding place of His power. Jesus was transfigured on that mountain, and Peter, John, and James saw him there.
Sure did.
Amen. Huh. They saw what he actually looked like. And the glory and the shine was whiter and more shiny than any fuller could clean and make and purify his clothes. And they saw him standing there visiting with Moses.
Whoa. And Peter said, let's build 3 tabernacles.
Oh, that's all he could think of. See, let's do something in the natural. Oh, let's build a church.
Yeah, I'm telling
you. You go over there now and you see where men have done the same thing. You go over there to the Holy Land and just build churches everywhere.
Goodness.
Littered the landslide, the whole landscape with them. Now, the eyes were open. They knew they were naked. They sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. Cross-reference says, things to gird about them. Now, here is the Prince of heaven and earth. He never had to do anything to meet his needs. What did he know about sewing? Nothing.
You mean sewing fig leaves?
Yeah. Hey, what did he know about sewing anything, man? He didn't know nothing about making clothes. He just, he's scared of God. Gotcha. He don't want to go to God for it.
Gotcha.
Because he don't want to be responsible to him. He know the woman was deceived, the scripture said, but he wasn't.
He was not
he
deceived.
He knows. He just fouled up this whole deal, man. And he was afraid, and he don't want to talk to God. Well, that's what this whole Babylonian system is made out of, a bunch of people that are afraid of God. They don't want to be responsible to Him, and they're bound and determined they're going to meet their own needs. Well, now, here's this little man sewed these fig leaves together and made themselves suits. Now, can you imagine what he looked like in his little fig leaf suit?
That he made.
He was a man clothed in glory. Equal with God in every sense of the word. And now he comes cowering down in there in his little fig leaf suit. And I just know God, look at your ugly self. Oh! Now, the first covenant was made to meet his needs.
There you go, over here.
Okay. And God killed an animal.
All right.
And verse 21. Unto Adam also and to his wife did the Lord God made coats of skins and clothed them. He didn't do it just because he needed clothes. That ain't why he did that. He did it because he loved him. He did it because look at that mess he made.
Goodness.
Out of a bunch of leaves, and did he just cobble together out of, you know, trying to come in there looking stupid and half naked, and there's God saying, look at my son, look like a fool in that suit. Ignoramus fig leaf suit.
I think I've seen some people in that suit.
I used to have one. Well, it'd been altered and taken up as many times. The man that did all my alterations, and the Lord took 100 pounds on me. And I didn't have one suit. He said, Mr. Kenner, I don't think I can take that suit up no more, man. I said, why? He said, I'm going to take them pants up one more time. You're going to have one great big pocket right in the back. And I did. My pruvia pockets come together. Now that's, and I must look like that to God.
I tell you.
But He gives us richly, all things to enjoy. That's the reason He gives you things, and they meet your needs.
Mm.
But now you don't want to turn around and say, oh, I love my new suit. No.
The
things of the world. Then say you couldn't have them, don't love them. God is love. And we love what God loves. We love people.
Yes.
And we love the Word. And we love Him. In that environment, our faith can grow. So you get rid of this need concept.
Yeah.
Don't you know He looked good? in that new fursuit
that God made.
That God son, made. Oh, God I've had made. Some good-looking clothes, but I don't know that God ever made any of them. That He anointed the man that didn't make some clothes for me because he's anointed man of God, and they do look good. But I mean, he walked in there with a fig leaf suit on, and he come out in fur.
Oh, my goodness.
With a covenant with God. And he never knew lack again.
Never did he?
Mm-mm. God took care of him, not on the stage that he, but God got that back for us through his covenant with Abraham, the Eden covenant. I'll make his place like the Garden of Eden. That was God's plan in the first place, and he don't ever change. Then Jesus came along and stripped the devil of everything he owned.
He stole everything he got.
He's the one left naked.
Exactly. That's what it says.
He's naked. He has nothing.
My goodness.
Hey, man, I done preached me happy, Bill. Glory to God. Now then, when we begin to know these things, we begin to talk like God, act like God. Scripture tells us to imitate God as little children imitate their parents.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Now, when we begin to, and we do it by acting and talking like Jesus.
Well, that Copeland and that Winston just running around everywhere trying to act like and talk like little Jesus.
I thought that was the point.
That's the idea.
It makes religion mad because it embarrasses them.
Right.
They want to act like everybody. They don't want to be different. You start acting like Jesus, talking like Jesus, you start getting Jesus results.
That's it. And you got to learn to do that, Brother Copeland, because that time that I spoke to my car when it was 50 degree below wind chill in Chicago, and I went out there, my car wouldn't say, uh-uh. It was parked on the lakefront, and it was cold as I'd ever seen it. I got it out of that car. Now, I'm thinking about Jesus and what he taught. He said, now, the things that I do shall you do also. He spoke to a fig tree. He spoke to a storm. He spoke to a dead. Everything obeyed him. I said, well, I'm going to do what Jesus did. See, I'm imitating him now. I got out of that car, but I first looked to see if anybody was looking.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Because I'm saying, boy, I'm acting kind of weird here, according to the world, see. And I said, I saw nobody looking.
The truth is, they're the weird ones.
They're the weird ones. Listen, when Adam fell, he lost his mind.
Yeah, he did.
And he's still falling. And I'm telling you, when Jesus broke that fall, and so we grabbed that thing, and now renewing our mind to sit back up together with him in heavenly places.
What did you say to that battery?
I said to that car, I said, in the name of Jesus. Now, I spoke to it, and I pointed at it. I command you to start just like that. Went in the house, got a cup of tea for about a half an hour, watched the ball game, I give God a chance to work. Then I got out of there, came back out, put that key in there. I mean, I wore my overcoat. I had my bag. I didn't go out there to try it and see if this is going to work.
That's big. That's a big thing.
I didn't.
He never told us to try faith.
No, he didn't.
He said, do it.
Do it. And I put that key in. Now, that was not a coincidence. The tow truck was making money off of everybody that was parked in that. I said, he's not going to make any money off of me. I'm going around this Babylonian system.
I tell you what. Now, it takes the renewing of the mind, particularly when you need everything.
Yeah, exactly.
To go from a need concept. Because needs represent struggle. You'll struggle to try to make your faith work. You're praying for rain.
Right.
Oh, God, the drought is so bad and we need the rain and we pray all night long. Ain't no use praying all night long. Unless it takes all night long to say all you need to say. But I ain't going to stay up all night long when I can believe God and go to bed.
Suppose somebody say, well, why does the scripture say My God shall supply all my need.
It doesn't say that.
It said, see?
It says, my God shall supply all my needs according to his riches in glory, and there are no needs there. Because the thing of it is, Bill, we're already there. We've had this world of need dominating me concept instead of the idea and concept that God sent me in here to provide for them.
The need. You know, needs represent a shortage mindset.
It does.
And when people feel short, you know, in Chicago, for example, sometimes pastor, he's stealing my people from over there. Now, it's 3 million left to be saved.
Yeah.
See?
And he got six of mine.
Yeah. And then they go to the gas pump and say, this is what I hear him say, give me 3 on 3. Well, now, 3 on 3, they're $3 on pump number 3. $3 won't take you nowhere.
No.
The three on three, $3 won't even get the low light off.
No, it won't. It
particularly. Listen.
And the prices are going up.
Going down. We got to adopt this no need mentality. See, this abundance is what we're supposed to be carrying.
Now, here's a Holy Ghost baptized tongue talking believer out there buying $3 or $4 worth of gas. Now, that struggling concept
is
totally at odds with the Word of God.
With the kingdom.
Mm. And then you can't figure out how come your faith don't work.
That's
your faith's not in an environment where it can work. Mm. But when you get over here and realize he gives you richly, not barely, richly, all things to enjoy, that's what you need to start saying.
Wow.
And you don't wait until you're covered up and stuff before you start saying that.
Gotcha.
You start saying it when you ain't got the $3 to get the 3 on 3.
Exactly. Calling things now.
But when you begin to speak what God's already said, the thing that occurs that causes an abundant life, Jesus said, the words that I speak are not mine. It's the Father that dwelleth within me. He does the works. Well, what he's saying is, and in other places, he said, my Father has shown me what I must say.
That's exactly.
I only say what I hear my Father say. I only do what I see my Father do.
Okay.
And because he spoke the words of God, God gave him his Spirit without measure.
Okay.
He didn't add to or take away. He just said exactly what he heard the Father say and nothing else. Mm. When he walked into the pool of Bethesda, he didn't go in there on his mind of healing everybody on that pool. He went in there on his mind to heal whichever person or persons that the Father pointed out to him.
Got it.
And that's where he went, and he only said what he heard the Father say. That man got healed, and he left. Now, when we get to where we begin to live like that, you begin to seek God for his words. Then you begin to go to the Word with the concept, or these are the words of my life.
And this is what I'm going to say.
This is what I'm going to say. And this is the results here that it will provide. Now, when God starts correcting you in those lines like that,
you've got to receive that correction.
You receive that and you say, whoa, wait a minute. He's not giving me stuff to meet my needs. He's giving me stuff to enjoy. Take all the struggle out of me. Glory to God.
That's the key. It takes the struggle out of me.
Instead of looking at it and say, boy, I know I need to be a good steward of your goods and your money. And, this little 14-year-old car will probably be good enough. You're absolutely diametrically opposed to God's will and his word. You're running religion.
That's it.
And every trap you run is empty.
That's it.
Well, I guess God just trying to teach me something.
Right.
No, the devil's trying to starve you to death.
Mm.
Mm. Now, let's get to David.
Yep.
David was trained all of his life to fight Goliath. He was ready for that battle when he got there. He already knew how to use that slingshot. He already knew how to use that staff. He beat your brains out of that stick. He already knew hand-to-hand combat. He'd already killed lions and bears.
He sure did, didn't he?
He knew hand fighting. God taught his hands to war.
He sure did.
And taught him on those animals that is trying to steal his sheep.
He sure did. He teaches my hands.
And he learned how to talk praising God. And he was so wild about it, his daddy wouldn't let him in the house
when the prophet came. He kept him out there.
He's a wild man. He'd get around that prophet, he'll embarrass the whole household because he don't talk like we talk.
My goodness.
He don't act like we do. Something wrong with him. Keep him out there in the woods where nobody sees him. He screams and hollers and dances and
plays guitar.
Yeah, and just goes. Now, and God, he was the most accomplished musician, head and shoulders above anybody in Israel.
Because he could play and demons would flee.
And nobody taught him how to pick. The blessing taught him how to pick.
My Lord. And so he comes to face Goliath. Let's just go over that. That's 1 Samuel chapter 17. So he comes to face Goliath now. And his father sent him to the front
Bill,
line.
Bill, we did it again.
We ran out.
Whoa!
But we covered some things. This is what is necessary to lay the foundation for what you're about to teach right here. This is key.
Everything he said to his brothers, everything he said to Saul, everything he said all around him, he had been prepared to say those things. And the anointing came up on him in the presence of Saul. Well, Saul knew that anointing when he saw it.
He quit calling him boy. He sure did, didn't he? Now that's a revelation.
He saw that anointing on him, and the Bible said, and moreover, David said. I mean, and the more he talked, the bigger he got. He got out there in front of Goliath and went worldwide. He said, the whole world will know. He killed him before he ever went face to face with him. We get into it tomorrow. Praise God, brother.
That's the end of our second lesson in the series, Speak God's Word, Get His Results. Aren't you glad to know that God doesn't want you to be doing without? Instead, He sent His Word. We hope you've enjoyed Believers Academy and this teaching, and don't forget to take advantage of the free downloads located right here on your screen. You don't want to miss our next lesson, Move Into Your Destiny. Learning to put your attention and your mind on God will change your life forever.